Like
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Mod State Podcast. Yes, this is a solo podcast, but John and I will be back and probably will be discussing very similar topics that I am on this podcast alone. But before I get into it, thank you all for supporting this podcast. Our listenership continues to broaden, and it's pretty exciting to see some of the countries that we're reaching and the people that are following up with us. And just keep it coming, and we certainly appreciate it. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, and on the website at modstate.com. It's the mod state, and then my Twitter, that's the Twitter handle, and then my Twitter handle is modstate_Nate. So just find us there, and we're happy to have you and get your feedback. Okay, so, you know, every country, I think, has to tackle issues with immigration. And we've seen it firsthand in Europe as migrants fled places like North Africa and from Syria and the Middle East. You know, crossing borders isn't necessarily a new thing. This is, this is in the fabric of our being as humans to migrate, to move. And, you know, whether that is for more opportunity, better back in the day, better farmland, better agriculture, just better opportunities to be by ports. I mean, this is what we did. And we've been defending these borders since the institution of borders themselves. So the concept in the issue of securing borders for national security purposes is not new. But going about it is something that I've been contemplating, and how we humanely go about this sort of natural urge for people to find better opportunity in places that they feel that they will. I think there's a couple things, but I guess the first is unique to the United States in today, June, the week of June 18th, 17th, people are reading reports in the United States of children being separated from their families or their mothers or their father, whoever was accompanying them or bringing them along the trip south of the border to the United States, and that they're being separated. And then in some cases, you've heard of these children being lost by the NHS. So I think the point of this is to just discuss a bit of the talk on either side, or the ideology, the belief in this, and then some other kind of nitty-gritty things where a lot of the framework of this is being, or the framework for the ideology is being built upon. So let's just dive into this. Okay. So what we've seen very quickly is a policy or a directive from the administration. And obviously what we do know is that immigration is a huge topic for the administration. We've talked at length about DACA here. We've talked a lot about Dreamers and this idea of having the Dreamers Act, which has never come to fruition since its potential inception into law in 2001. So it's been you know, a decade and a half, and we haven't had any movement on that. And you do see these back and forths on the left and the right. What do we do about amnesty? Is, you know, if we're not, so there's this very law and order right, and this very I'm just saying, it's this humanistic approach on the left to what can we do with these people that are invariably going to come to the United States. I'm not saying that there are no humanistic qualities on the right at all, but what you do see is this already pitted and tribal nation that we're picking sides. There's this, it's the racist versus the humanists, it's the religious zealots versus the, you know, whatever, you name it. And that there's the fighting back and forth and pointing fingers. And what I will say is, in this case, taking children away from their parents is not the greatest look. I'll say it as centrist as I possibly can on this issue. And you know, there'll be people on the left that will really call me out and say, really, this is the issue that you're going to take sides on, or you're not going to take sides on. Like, where are your principles? Where are your values? And like, what I'm conceding now is that it's not a good look. It doesn't sound great when you hear the recordings of these children wailing for their parents. It's not a good look, and it's not something that I'm very proud of, especially because of the implication as to why it's happening. So what has come out in the defense of this mandate policy? It's not a law. There's been a couple things, and some of them I just fundamentally disagree with, and some of them I had to dig a little deeper. So we'll go down this rabbit hole right now. So what you have heard from people like Jeff Sessions and other folks is that there was some biblical foundation for doing this, or there was a justification for it. Now, I don't know in his heart of hearts that he believes he's doing this because there's some sort of biblical prophecy to be fulfilled, or that the Bible says this, therefore we should do this. I don't think that's the case. What I do think is that he holds true to some sort of Christian value, and that he could justify action through a biblical verse. The problem with that, there's a couple problems. The first being, needs to be a clear separation of church and state. Whatever is in your religious document does not translate into the rule of law. I don't care. You can live your life by it, but it should not be dictated on their people. And that goes for all religion. I mean, if this was someone who is Jewish or Islamic or Hindu, Buddhist, it doesn't matter. That doesn't get translated into the rule of law here into the United States. I guess the second part of that is where I tend to get lost is how this somehow applies to everyone who doesn't hold the same faith as you in the first place. So, you know, he cited Romans, and which was Paul's letter to obey the laws of the government because God has ordained them for the purpose of order. Well, okay, there are rules and there are laws that are established for the well-being and order in society that we as men and women have voted in to be law, or have had voted representatives in to represent us and make these laws. For me, God did not do any of that. So to use God as a crux here for what I think is a fairly poor policy just is lost on me completely. It makes it somewhat even worse, I guess. It's kind of crazy to me. But I guess when you're reaching for justifications for something, when maybe in your heart of hearts you know that if you were to insert you into that situation, if you were a refugee fleeing from a place that had violence and you knew there was better opportunity, the only way that you knew how to do it was try to seek asylum somewhere. If you were to somehow insert yourself into that, I think it's very difficult to actually feel that, like, viscerally, that this is the right policy. And I wonder if the reaching for religion is something that you're, like, just on the line about. Well, you know what, God's Paul, who's not Jesus, you know, he said these things, and phew, all right, this is it, man. Obey the law, right? You're losing me a little bit there, Jeff Sessions, but I wanted to get that one out of the way fairly quickly. The next one is that this is Democrats' fault. You know, we'll just go into the next one. We'll skip this one, and I think maybe that we can sort of shed some light on this. Is it the Democrats' fault? I mean, I think you could... Oh, now I'm just diving into it. So I think you can blame, you can spin anything you want on the other side. And you can say, well, look, if the other side would just cooperate, this wouldn't happen. And in some cases, if there's stall tactics, etc., maybe this is true. I mean, maybe, but in this case, leveraging children and the separation of families to get what you want is not the greatest look. I know the other side, the right, will come into this mix and say, we're not leveraging anything. It's a court order. There's nothing we can do about this. Obama did this. Look, I'm not... One thing I will say, and I haven't had much research. I haven't done much research on what happened in the Obama era. If it happened, it happened. I'm not saying that it's good. I'm not saying that it should have happened. There's plenty of things in the Obama administration and foreign policy, like drone strikes and stuff like that, that I take a little bit of issue with for collateral damage. I acknowledge that it probably absolutely did happen. But this is 2018. This is June of 2018. We have the choice whether to continue to do that or not. Not to reach back to the past, look at it and say, well, look, this person did it. So, you know, you can't be mad that we're doing it because he did it. No, why don't you become the better man and step up and not do this or find some consensus? So, obviously, it sounds like I've picked a side here, but I'm just kind of going back and forth here. Trying to find some sort of reason here. When I hear that kids are being separated from their parents, it's hard for me to go, okay, there has to be nuances to this that I'm missing, because who would do this just to do this? I mean, there's only clear reasons, because you're just an asshole, or you're doing it for leverage, or there is a court order somewhere that says we have to do this, and this is just something that's been uncovered, and we're just running down this rabbit hole right now. Which leads us to the next thing that both Ted Cruz and Paul Ryan have alluded to as the lawful reason that this is happening. So Paul Ryan had said that he personally disagrees with family separation, which is good. I mean, again, I don't think there's anybody, hopefully, anybody who feels that family separation is a good thing. I'm sure there's a handful of people out there that are like, yeah, man, you know, I don't know why I made him Southern, but anyway, happy that this is happening, that, you know, you knew the consequence of the potential consequence of moving across the border. You knew that this could happen. This is a consequence and you have to deal with it. It's not my fault. I don't feel bad for it. In fact, Daniel Horowitz on the Conservative Conscience, a fairly really right-leaning kind of conservative outlet, kind of rolls with the Mark Levin on the AM talk radio at night, really didn't care that this happened. They were okay with it. But again, they are the type of group that really fearmonger every immigrant that's coming across the border, that somehow every immigrant is connected to MS-13, that are smuggling drugs, are part of human trafficking. So there is a faction out there that truly believes that this is good and well. But anyway, so what Paul Ryan had said, that he personally disagrees with family separation, but implied that the Trump's administration hands were tied because of a court order. Well, okay, so what court order? And this court order stems from a case that was done in the Ninth Circuit. Now, immediately I went and we did a podcast episode on the judicial branch briefly, it was several months ago, just to kind of go over the circuits. And in the Ninth Circuit, I had to look up again because I said, well, this is weird, because if this has to do with immigration and it somewhat negatively impacts the people that move across the border, maybe it's more conservative leaning, but the Ninth Circuit is like the West Coast, so it's fairly liberal. And this was over the... So what had happened was, so U.S. District Judge Dolly G in 2015 had an order requiring the federal government to release children from family immigrant detention centers within 20 days. So this was kind of stemmed from this ongoing litigation over a case in 1997 called the Flores Settlement. Now, this is where it gets weird. Okay, so laws are very helpful if they're black and white, because when you leave a law open to interpretation, as most laws are, both sides can start to sort of move in and elucidate what it means. And this is where we're at now with this Flores settlement, that there's room for interpretation here. And this is where the barricades come up. And this is where the trenches are dug. And it's very hard to move from this. So we'll just read, and I'll post this in the show notes. This is from a little fact check, the Flores Settlement, A Brief History and Next Steps. So the Ninth Circuit is currently considering an appeal by the U.S. government of the 2015 ruling by the U.S. District Court for the Central District of California, it's the Ninth Circuit, that the federal government violated a settlement agreement by detaining children in family immigration detention centers with their parents. So we can think about what happened. We think, here we go, kid moves across the border with mom, mom gets detained, now kid is in detention center with mom. Also probably not the greatest. Okay. So in 1985, two organizations filed a class action lawsuit on behalf of immigrant children who had been detained by former Immigration and Naturalization Services, the INS, challenging procedures regarding the detention, treatment, and release of children. So now this is a step in to go, look, we can't, it's basically keeping children in jail with their parents. After many years of litigation, including an appeal to the United States Supreme Court, the parties reached settlement in 97. The Flores Settlement Agreement imposed several obligations on immigration authorities, which fall into three broad categories. So one, the government is required to release children from immigration detention without unnecessary delay, in order of preference, parents, other adult relatives, or licensed programs willing to accept custody. Okay, so again, that means that as soon as they possibly can, without unnecessary delay, they need to return them to their parents, in order of preference, parents, relatives, or other licensed programs. If a suitable placement is not immediately available, the government is obligated to place children in the least restrictive setting appropriate to their age and any special needs. Okay, so I don't know, we'll just say two hypotheticals. One, a 7-year-old walks across the border, you know, whatever, or an unaccompanied minor all by themselves makes it across. What do we do? Well, we kind of divert back to number one. Parents, no, adult relatives, maybe. That becomes tricky, especially if adult relatives are undocumented in the United States. Or licensed programs, 1, 2, 3. Four, not being detention centers. Number three, the government must implement standards relating to the care and treatment of children in immigration detention. Pretty standard. Hopefully that's happening. So this goes, and just to sort of elucidate on this a little bit more, so the preference of parents, relatives, and licensed programs. So this is where this whole missing children thing came from. So once these parents were released to relatives, it became, in a perfect world, we would have tracked those individuals or would have kept tabs on those children, had social services go out and make sure everything is fine. But there became issues with contacting those individuals who are relatives. And sometimes that had to do with the fact that they went to another. So let's say that Tia or aunt is in California and she's undocumented, but she is a relative that is the number two on the list. There's no parent, but there's a relative and she's undocumented. However, the children said that, hey, look, she's here. I know she's here. They can have someone else as a surrogate. They can be released to this surrogate and then brought to that individual. And this is obviously this individual would be absolutely scared to be in touch with immigration services as they're undocumented. And so sort of lose track of these children. So it's kind of a tough situation to be in, right? So they're going to the place in order of precedence and preference. However, we don't really know what happened to them. So it's that's just where that kind of missing children thing is. So this leads us to the question. So where does the court order say that these children should be detained? And this is where the right and the left use the Flores settlement as their reason as to why these children are detained. Well, there's no order of preference. This is the best place that they can be right now. Our hands are tied. This is the case. As opposed to the left saying, no, this is, like, first off, they need to be with a relative. They should not be caged up. They should not be here. By the Flores settlement doesn't say anything about keeping them here. You know, why are we doing this? This seems to be more like leverage than it is the humane thing to do, when the humane thing per the Flores settlement is fairly clearly laid out. So, and you've heard in some of the recordings that there were immigration officers that were trying to get a hold of aunts and relatives in the United States. I also understand that immediately doesn't happen like that in the government, and that this may take some time to confirm relatives, to get a hold of relatives. But there's this, you know, this other talk of holding them for 20 days or not being able to hold them for 20 days. It just seems on a sort of topical level that it maybe seems like we're doing less than we actually could to put these children where they need to go. That's maybe me being fairly nice about this. So anyway, I think some other things that a lot of people are having trouble with is the flip-flopping and the sort of lack of transparency within the administration. So that would be like, what's her name? Kirstjen Nielsen, who's the Homeland Security Secretary, and who is going back and forth about there is no family separation, there is. And then the hoops that people try to jump through to sort of justify this and to humanize it and make it look like it's something that it's not. I am certainly not jumping to conclusions that it's some horrific detention, like, you know, internment camp. I don't know. I've never been there, and I'm not trying to be an apologist for it either. I'm just saying one thing that the left does very well is that they create stories. They really track the human experience. They portray the human experience. And by doing that, it's always going to be more visceral, and it's always going to appeal to the senses and emotion over data. It always will. And that can go on the right or the left. It always will. And I always have to check my sort of emotional IQ, or the EQ, the emotional intelligence, before I go off and become reactionary. And I'm very reactionary. I can, when a problem is presented, I automatically think that whatever the problem is that you gave me, that's truly the problem. It couldn't be any other situation, and I'm off to the races. And I just want to stay measured on this. Is there a reason that this is happening? Is there a reason that these children are separated from their parents? Is this the best place they can be? Do these children, are they safer here than they are out in the United States? Like, what? I don't know, but what I do know is that it doesn't look good. And based on things like the Flores settlement, based on biblical justification, based on it being the Democrats' fault, making it look like it's a bit of leverage, it's not a good look. And I am not for the internment of individuals. I, you know, I'm going on a tangent here, but there is something to law and order. I will absolutely say that. And this is one thing that the kind of far right, the Daniel Horowitzes of the world, are very much trying to take back American sovereignty. And like, I don't know where that fits biblically or however they believe, as if America's, you know, God's chosen promised land. I don't know where that fits in. I don't quite understand that. I'm very much more kind of team people in general. And I don't know where religion has a place with all of humanity. I think most people would say that they do. But, you know, I'm a patriot. I served. I'm all for promoting democracy and democratic values in the world. But I'm not really picking and choosing who I get to you know, who gets rights and who doesn't, and who's allowed in and who's not. That's really not my place. I would like everyone to be afforded the same opportunity. And I try to avoid the best I can the kind of hypocrisies and the fear-mongering that I do see in both the left and the right. I'm not saying that they're exclusive to one group. However, it's, you know, the, I would say these, the far right of the world here want to take back, or the United States want to take back this sovereignty and want to protect the people in this country who are doing right and who are living the, by the laws and the standards and the code of the land. And I totally understand that. And I get that there needs to be law and order. I'm not, you know, you can have the craziest views you want on who needs to be locked up and mandatory minimums and et cetera. And I'm not going to really test you on it. If that's what you feel about the law of the land, I'm probably not going to change your mind. However, I also won't fear monger either. I won't accept fear mongering of another group because they're from somewhere else, or they're maybe there's a group that's making life difficult or different for another group of people, or it's maybe for some people it's inconvenient for something. I don't know. But I have a hard stance, and I don't really tolerate that, that fear mongering of another group, that everyone that's coming across the border is breaking the law and is somehow, an MS-13 member or part of human trafficking or drug smuggling, that this is the epidemic of the, this is the heroin epidemic issue. I don't want to attach that unnecessary burden to people that I think the majority of them really just want a better opportunity. And I don't have statistics. I think someone like his group, the Daniel Horowitzes of the world, have lots of data to show that of the 53,000 people that came across the border, 10,000 did this wrong and 800 did this wrong and 10 were murderers. And it, like, okay, yeah, there's always going to be bad people. But if you're picking 10,000 as a number out of 50,000, it's 1 in 5. So that means potentially 4 of those people have the best intentions for their future and for their family and for those people, those children that they're bringing across the border. And so I just like to look from that perspective, as well as every perspective I possibly can. I definitely sounded left-leaning on this one, but yeah, I'm going to leave some of this other stuff for John and I's podcast that we can get into. But, you know, thanks for listening. This has been a ramble rant podcast episode by Nate to talk a little bit about immigration. And again, thanks for tuning in. And, you know, this is a tough subject. And it's, I think, visceral reactions to this are real for every person in their belief. But I would just hope that we can move away from the topical initial gut reaction and the picking the side, the team, whatever team you're on, and really get to what's the facts that are going on here. What is actually happening? And maybe we can do less finger pointing and really just be on team people for once with everybody. All right, y'all. I'll see you.